right, welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Bonna Pfeiffer.
And you are listening to the midweek version of that ground cloth stabbing show that we do twice a week.
Yeah.
Sponsored by, at every time this little circus act gets together, sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. Because, yeah, that. So, a pause here to hear from Kim.
This edition of Fiber Talk is proudly sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. Sassy Jack's is a vibrant young needle workshop located on the picturesque Main Street of Weaverville, North Carolina. Sassy Jack's shares a beautifully renovated historic building with Five Little Monkeys Quilt Shop and a wonderfully renovated classroom facility on the upper level of our building. Our classroom facility is best in class, and we hope you'll find a retreat or workshop that you just can't miss sometime later this year or next. We still have a few openings in our August class with Beth Seal of Summerhouse Stitchworks, as well as our September Soiree Stitch Retreat and our Halloween Retreat with Isabel from The Primitive Hair. Spaces are filling fast, so please give us a call to register or check out the info on our website under Designer Classes at SassyJackStitchery.com. We are also happy to announce that registration for our Jack's Hats 2020 workshops featuring Nicola Parkman of Hands Across the Sea Samplers will open for registration on July 7th. Please watch your inbox for a special newsletter the evening of July 6th, or look for the registration documents on our website under Designer Classes on July 7th. We hope you find a way to come visit us soon. If you can't make it to us, then visit us on Facebook or Instagram. We love it when you stop by and say hi, whether it's in person or online. We truly appreciate you. And we really appreciate all the good things we hear and learn from Fiber Talk. We are super proud to be a sponsor of this wonderful resource of stitching goodness. Thank you, Fiber Talk, for giving us some stabby pokey talk twice a week. Kim and team at Sassy Jack Stitchery.
Hey, thanks, Kim. Thanks, Sassy Jack Stitchery and all the other fine people there. Appreciate the support, ongoing support. And just a reminder, we have the Queen Sampler Project. You can get kits there. Not too late. Not too late. Vonna has the first stitches in her doodle cloth. I have one stitch in my doodle cloth. And still haven't put my main linen on the scroller bars, so plenty of time to get involved in this thing. Get your kits from Sassy Jack's. She has them all packaged up. And also remember now, Sampler Sunday that we did June 23. Those are 15% off on kits for that. So you can call up anyone that we talked about in the Sampler Sunday, and they're all on the slideshow. You can get 15% off at Sassy Jack's for that. So remember that. And yeah, coming up on the 28th is going to be our next Sampler Sunday.
Yeah, exciting.
I'm getting mine lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Yours are still in the Ottoman, so.
Yeah, I think I've added some, though.
Yeah, I got some new ones, yeah. Some I don't even own. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because at some point you can't own them all, so. Well, I can't. You can, but I can't.
I'm not going to be able to own them all.
But you're trying like heck, I'll tell you.
I'm trying real hard. That is true. I'm giving it the good old college try.
Yeah, you are all in. Yep. Yeah, going to own them all. I'm Vonna. Thank you very much. Yeah, so that's coming up on the 28th. We'll have another one. And that one will be sponsored by Sassy Jack's. And also the same deal now. She said she would give 15% off on kits on the ones we talk about. So, you know, this is an excellent way to get samplers that you don't have and want, and or get yourself your first sampler is through these Sampler Sunday shows. And I got a couple good ones. I'm looking forward to talking about it. Yep.
Yeah, I have a couple good ones too. Ones that I have not really, I don't think very many people have talked about, so...
Yeah.
Awesome.
I love that. I have a couple good ones. All the others were crap, but these two that I have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It never comes out right. I don't know. So, yes, but we have started on the Queen Sampler Project, sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. Got to get the whole title now. Queen Sampler Project, sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery. So if you missed the video last week that... The first go-around, 10 minutes of the sound dropped out at the end. Don't even try to understand that, how you can go 30 minutes and then have 10 minutes of sound drop out beyond me. And then a new one put up that has the whole thing. But we talk about getting started. And that, even if you're not going to do a sampler, it's two different ways in a lot of instances for how we get a project started in general. So
yeah,
people have commented that they actually picked up a tip or two out of that, which scares me.
Yeah, I ordered my Peco thing yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and who was it? See, here I go again. I didn't write it down. Someone mentioned another one that you can get off of Amazon that has the cards where you put the symbols and foam for the needles, but then also has little slotted foam pieces where you, so you can lay the thread so you don't get that rat's nest that I have, but I've learned to deal with it, so whatever.
Yeah, and you know, and it's much bigger than the Peco one, but see, what I'm going to do with the Peco one is I'm going to put magnets on the back of it and magnet it to my magnetic board that, you know, that I magnet like mine.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. And so my threads will just hang, and I don't think they'll get, and I'm not going to like put like all my threads on there, just because I looked at that other one. It was cheaper than the Peco one, but I went ahead and just bought the Peco one because it was smaller and I don't want to put my threads, you know, just my threaded needles, not the whole threads. So.
Yeah, no, I'm not, I don't do that. No, I keep them in the drops, but yeah, I just use it for partial lengths.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm going to use it for too.
Oh, I like the magnet idea, but well, it wouldn't work for me the way I'm set up. You and your little cockpit cubby hole thing there. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't have that.
I tell you what, that magnet board was, and I just got that originally to put like needle minders on.
Yeah.
And I started doing, I thought, you know, because what do you do with your pattern? I'd always be sitting on it, roughly, you know. And I thought, I'm just going to start magneting, you know, putting it up there with magnets. And boy, that and my light that he rigged up there on Mother's Day. That was a game changer.
That's such a heartwarming Mother's Day gift right there. It just kind of sends a chill up my spine. That's so touching.
Go down to the junk place and find a light and bring her on up.
Here you go,
Happy
Ivana.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Thanks for all you've done.
That's kind of poignant, isn't it?
My heart is warm. My heart is very warm right now. Oh, wait, maybe that's because the air conditioner's broken. I'm not sure which, but anyway. Yeah, that's just very touching. Just kind of a marital moment right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, shoot. It was a real game changer. That whole magnet and the light. The light was, woo, boy, I tell you.
Yep. You know,
else.
I'll tell you what I've been finding, that's going to come out well. Yeah, I'm an editor. I'm an editor for a career. Yeah, what I've been finding I do. Great sentence structure. Well played. What I've been doing is taking my working copy of the, Sarah Brazier, or Sarah B, because now I can't remember how Nicholas said to say it properly.
Brazier.
She's got me all messed up now. So it's just Sarah B. I don't even know what to do now. Because the first time that I mentioned it, I said Brazier.
Mm-hmm.
And she freaked. And then I realized the minute it was out of my mouth, yeah, that can't be. So then I thought I had it right at Brazier, but that's not right either. So it's just Sarah B. So Sarah B. But what I've been doing with my working, you know, that was a nice tangent. Yeah. Jeez. Scatterbrained. Is I've been taking the working copy and folding it up and then just putting it on the sampler itself under the magnifying glass.
Yeah.
And that's been working really well for me. Of course, the working copy gets folded 50 different times.
Yeah.
But that's been working really well for me, just having it there. Then I don't look up at all. I just go.
See, I typically do that. And I haven't been doing that because I tried to make a copy with, we don't have like a really great scanner and, you know, printer or whatever, Xeroxer. And I could
they're,
not.
They're like
really,
$100, Vanna.
Yeah, I know. Ours wasn't very good.
You got 15 kids in the house who are all in school.
We have one, but I just feel like I did it, and it did, I didn't feel like it was good.
Okay.
But anyways, I don't know.
Because it didn't give photographic quality working copies of sampler charts.
Probably that was, I was probably.
Aren't we lofty today?
Yeah, probably it was a little lofty there.
Jeez.
I need
Can
to
you get
that.
Your nose down to level for us, please? Jeez.
I need to try to do that again and see if I can get it better. I didn't feel like it was good. I felt like it was smeary or something.
Smeary?
Maybe that. Yeah, smeary. Maybe, I don't know. I felt it was like fuzzy. Maybe it was just me. But you are right. That is a good plan when you do it on there because then you don't have to look up at all.
Right. Yeah, that's working really well for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I need to try that tonight.
Okay. A little look into the elitist mind of Vonna Pfeiffer. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I just had to do it on my reel. I don't know. You're right, though. It does work better. I'm going to try that tonight. But I don't really need to do it for the Queen sampler. Do you know that I've been stitching? Okay, now this is totally another tangent. But like the doodle cloth.
Left on turn.
The yeah, squirrel. the doodle cloth, I've been stitching in hand with that.
Ooh, Vonna.
I know, and it almost made me think.
Cutting edge.
Well, you know, and I don't really typically like stitching in hand. But I'm thinking now, since we're doing that reversible cross stitch and I'm flipping, looking at the back to make sure that it's laying, you know, crossing and all that stuff. I almost think, should I stitch in hand?
Whoa.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, a pause here for a thought. Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Like the whole thing, stitch in hand?
I'm wondering. I don't know.
With your That's sore probably. Hands, wrists, and arms? Whoa.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not smart.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
But I have been doing it in hand just because, like I said, because I've been flipping it back and forth,
I put mine in a hoop.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I just was so just wanting, chomping at the bit to get started that I just held it and I did my doodling in hand and I tell you what, I can see the value in that.
Yeah.
In using a doodle cloth.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, yeah. No, this is overkill, but I'm setting mine up on my lap stand with my other magnifier lamp so I can see it.
Oh, really? Hoop.
Yeah, over to the side. But I've got my floor stand to hold the actual piece, and then I've got the table to the left, so I have room. I can set that up and go back and forth, yeah.
Well, I tell you, I've been really, I've got like my proper stitch laying on the arm of one side of the chair and.
Yeah, I forgot you had that library.
I know. I've got a whole library. I set in and it's like, good gravy. You know, it's like almost worse than Therabee because I've got like 3 different books laying out. I have my iPad to grab for quick references and to check up something and. I tell you, I'm really taking this serious.
It really has become it's become a full cockpit. The only thing you don't have is a heads-up display in your glasses then.
That's right.
So you can fire missiles while you're stitching.
That's right. Because I have everything all around me. Even Ellie last night was like commenting on like, what is all this all around? And I go, it's just to do one sampler.
And she rolled her eyes and just went downstairs.
You know, she has like in the summertime, whenever our kids are home a lot, you know, we have this piece of foam and she puts it on our floor. I keep it underneath our bed. And, you know, we have a television up here and I'm always up here in the evening. And last night she came and got her foam out because she wanted to be with me. And so she laid on her piece of foam and we watched, I can't remember what we watched last night. We watched that glass blowing competition that's on Netflix or Hulu because it's about glass artists and she wanted to watch that. So we watched a couple of episodes of that last night.
So mother-daughter time.
It was me and Ellie and probably a couple of cats.
You and your cockpit, Ellie on foam, and there we go.
Yeah. She had it all laid out there. We had a good time. She was watching that show. I was trying to decipher reverse full cross stitch.
Well, that's twice in the last half hour. My heart's gotten warm. I'm just kind of, wow.
I know. It's just very poignant here. Yeah. Very, very sentimental stuff here at the Pfeiffer household.
This is special.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
It is. I know.
Oof. Okay. There we have it right there. There's our Americana picture. Yeah.
I know. Norman Rockwell.
Yep. So someone commented that she saw wrinkles in my linen.
Yeah, I read that comment. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Well, I knew they were there. I was hoping they wouldn't show up. I hate cameras. Because I did it quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just did it really quick to get ready for the show because it was kind of a scramble for me. And yeah, I didn't think they'd show up, but yeah, they're there. So I had to completely redo it because I was going to redo it anyway because I couldn't stand them, even though they were fairly faint. So I completely redid the linen, soaked it, ironed it, especially once I'd learned the proper ironing motion, then I had it. yeah. So now it's wrinkle free. I think you might find a couple of really faint ones, but that's it. Yeah.
Well, I did the same thing too, since I found out that starch wasn't good for the linen. So I redid mine too.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that little detail that you shouldn't put starch in because that's food for bugs.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But I read on, Mary Ellen's Best Press, and that has that's called a starch alternative, and it does not have starch in it, and it's acid free.
Right. Yeah, no, I checked that the first time I bought a bottle after you had suggested it to make sure there was no starch in it. And then after this little episode, I went and read the label again. Yeah, there's no starch in that. So,
no. I didn't put any on there, but I just had grabbed starch because you use that in making quilts, which I find that, you know, people encourage you to use it when you're making quilts.
Yeah, but quilts get washed. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little different. Yeah.
Right. So I'd made that quilt and I just had starch by my thing, and I just thought, oh, I'm going to try that because I had used Best Press before and I had noticed that it opens up I feel like it opens up the holes. And, but anyways, I did the Gary Parr rinse, roll, and stomp. And it was good. Just remember, rinse, roll, and stomp.
I think that's what my kids accused me of doing when I got mad at them. I think that's what it was. Yeah, same thing. Maybe that's why I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I got multiple years of practice. Yeah. So then it came out wrinkle free, and you're clean to good to go then.
Yeah, I felt like it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I just loaded it on my roller frame. And added my mitten clips on the side, and off to the races.
Yeah, I'm anxious to get mine. You were sending me some. I'm anxious to get those, not the mitten clips, but the
thread peels.
Yeah, those orange peels, thread peels, whatever. I'm anxious to try that. Yeah.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah.
Or I think they're nice.
And for that process, we now know. Not because I did research, but we now know who gave me the idea for how to do that. And that's Linda Green, known as Blue Horse Yellow Cow on the Floss Tube, wrote to me and she said, that was me. Thanks, Linda. Saved me a bunch of research because I had no idea where I was going to look for that. So Linda Green is the person who said, put a dab of Dawn in a bowl, tepid water, soak it, rinse it, roll it up, iron it. Works.
So I guess instead of calling it the Gary Parr movement, I should call it the
Blue Horse Yellow Cow. I think, though, that we can shorten it to Blue Cow. Take out the horse yellow.
Okay.
And go Blue Cow.
We're going to Blue Cow.
Or Horse Yellow. We could go either way. There's a story behind that name, too. I forget if it's a painting or something. I remember she explained it somewhere. It's a cool story. I think it's a painting or a drawing of some kind. Where she got that Blue Horse Yellow Cow name. But it's pretty cool because it's very distinctive. But
yeah, it is.
Yeah, I enjoy her floss tube. She needs to do more. Like, the last one was 2 months ago, I think. Yeah, it was April. Like, let's go, Linda. Because she, and she does them with her daughter, Sarah. And and she knows good beer. So, yeah, so a lot of times in her videos, then they'll have beer, and she'll mention what kind of beer it is. So, yeah.
They have beer while they're doing their floss tube?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's not okay?
No, I was just shocked. I'm not shocked. Maybe I need to have a beer.
Who said you couldn't?
I do a floss tube. Maybe I need to have a beer when we're doing these fiber talks.
Who said you couldn't?
What, I tell you what, it'd be off the chain then. If I had it here, what was it, the fiber talk?
Yeah. You might want to rethink that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I might.
Yeah, because Linda seems to be able to handle her beer. You might want to be careful, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, thanks to Linda for pointing out the thing that I keep forgetting to look up and would have never found anyway. So it was her.
Okay, great.
Yep. And then the other thing, I have to defend myself. I've taken a couple of shots about my big X of thread to find the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, why not just fold it in quarters and then you'll have the middle?
Yeah.
Which, yeah, could have done that. But I have to defend myself because, see, that comes from my needlepoint background where you can't be folding up canvas.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be folding needlepoint canvas because once it's creased, and that's it. So that's why I do it that way, is because that's from lots of needlepoint canvases where I needed to find the middle. And so you make the X and there's the middle. And so I don't think about it. I just do it on all of them.
Right. That wasn't a big deal to me.
No, but I guess your face was special. I didn't go back and look, but your face while I was explaining it was apparently pretty special.
I wasn't doing that for theatrical. For my theatrical.
What?
Whatever. I don't even know what I was going to say now. I can't even remember. So, I don't even know.
Soy de Alger. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm not a very good. You know, I had speech therapy when I was growing up. You know.
Oh, you're going to play that card?
No, really, I did. Okay. I almost didn't graduate from it when I went to high school. Isn't that sad? And I'm very aware that I get tongue-tied and stuff, but I couldn't say things right, like S's, T-H, S-H, those kind of words. C-H, you know, it was just like I was a mush mouth, I guess. Anyways.
Well, you got over it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I can catch myself. I'm very aware of it. Mm. You know, I really am. And then if I get excited or, you know, it all kind of goes to, you know, wearing a handbasket. But anyways, I can tell that I get mush mouthy. But anyways, I wasn't doing that for a theatrical effect or anything. I just am a very expressive person. And I didn't notice anything was weird either until somebody said that my face expressions were hilarious. And so I went back and looked at it, and it is kind of, they are kind of funny. I was just really like listening to everything that I was hanging on every word.
Aww.
that you had to say.
Now there's the third heartwarming moment right there.
I know. I learned so much from you, Gary. I truly do. And I was just
spare
like,
me.
To,
come on.
I was like listening to every word that you said. And I think another reason, to be fair, I think another reason why you do that X and put the threads in the middle and all that stuff is because you're just very precise. You just want to be very precise and have it perfectly centered on your piece of cloth. Whereas I'm just like, close enough.
Yeah, I that is a problem. I do. I have to know that thread is dead center on that piece of cloth. I just have to.
Yeah.
Can't help it. Just right. Can't help it. Yeah.
No. And you told me all that you were like that before. And I always thought that's crazy. But I mean, I didn't understand how you did it. And how you did it, I was thinking that you were spending hours counting down and counting across and all that stuff. But that X and all that stuff, that's a pretty quick way to be 100% precise.
Yeah. Somebody suggested it was really complex, but it's really pretty simple. I mean, you just put a knot on one end of a long thread. Thread it in one, thread it out the other, do it again, and there's your center. It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep those threads. you know, those long threads, I just keep them and use them again. Cause they're just throwaway anchor thread. So I just have them in a ball sitting somewhere. And
really, you keep them. That's something.
Yeah. You know, see, I'll pull off a long length like that and then I'll pull out two strands to make my X, and then the other four strands, then I'll pull and use to make my little tie offs.
Oh,
and so I just, you know, that over, you know, takes a long time to use up a good length of thread. So it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so I just choose a color I can't stand to look at and use it for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
That's pretty awesome. I think that it was good. I mean, it was good. It's better. It's more precise than what, because mine always is not perfectly centered. Not always, but a lot of the time it's not perfectly centered. And I've learned a lot about squaring up my edges and pulling threads. And
oh, I got to have that. See that? I cannot stand that. I cannot stand that if that linen isn't squared up and I know that every side is a full, I can pull a full thread off. I can't, boy, that's, I can't get past that. That's got to be, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been very careful about that recently.
But, you know, but then I'm amazed because when Kim sends those all surged, you know, I lay it down. That sucker's pretty square. It's, I don't know what she does, but yeah, she gets.
Well, I imagine she does like what you do, don't you?
I guess. Seems like it'd be a lot of time in the shop to do that, but.
I wonder if she pulls threads to cut her linen.
I don't know. Maybe that's what she does. That would make more sense. Just pull one.
Yeah, I bet you she pulls threads to cut linen.
Yeah.
Because then that way you know that you get the most precise cut
I have to ask her. I bet that's what she does. That because yeah, then you could be very efficient cutting pieces.
Yeah. And getting the most for your the, you know,
right
bang for the buck or whatever.
Yeah, that. Yeah, that bang for the buck thing, yeah.
I know.
Yep.
I'm all about that.
So, all right. So, thanks to Linda Green for teaching me how to fix linen. Appreciate that. Reminding that we have FiberTalk needle minders available, $15. They're 2-inch square, and now Marga and I are working on, just got to get the right magnet, working on 1-inch size.
Oh, 1-inch size.
1-inch size. So I would think in the next couple weeks we'll have that ready to go. Yep.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have two sizes. Yeah. Because I think a lot of people don't care much for the bigger one, or maybe think it's too big. So we'll have a 1-inch and a 2-inch, and I'm liking the 2-inch. I mean, of course, that's what I wanted originally, but I'm finding it very useful. And well, you were telling me because you put threaded needles on, and then you use it to wrap the thread around so it's out of the way.
Right. I put like when I sat down for the evening, if I know what motives up. This is only on Sarah B. Well, actually, I did it on Louisa Cooleymore too. I just thread up like 10, 15 needles with the colors that I know that I'm going to use. And then I slap them on my my FiberTalk needle minder. And then I don't have to thread needles. I get one done, put it up on a magnet on my magnetic board, and then pull one off my FiberTalk and go to town.
There we go. So, yeah, I like the bigger one. But anyway, going to have a 1-inch coming up. So, yay for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, let's see, I think I mentioned about Sampler Sunday. Oh, we're going to do, on the 28th, we're going to do a video. That's going to be a video show.
Mm-hmm.
That should be different. A video show where the sound plays all the way through.
Yeah, we hope. and I think that you're right in the fact that then we can just show it and it'll be easier for you than having to make a, you know,
slideshow. Yeah, that took up a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this way, yeah, it'll be just straightforward. But anyway, so we're going to try a video one. So that'll be fun. And I already mentioned that you can make. So we had. Let me get this one in because we're going to. Yeah, we're going to. No, we got a lot of time. We got a lot of time. But let me get it in ahead of time anyway. I'm so proud of the Fox chapter to which I am a member, of which I am a member. Because last week at the Tuesday chapter meeting, it was the culmination of an effort where not all the members, there's 130 members, and but 50 plus of them, did this. I was not one of the 50 plus. They made hearts, needlepoint hearts. They're probably 4 inches tall by 4 inches wide, something like that. Good sized hearts, all different designs. They made hearts and finished them into ornaments. And they did this for this Camp Courage, it's called. And Journey Care is a hospice organization in Barrington, Illinois, near where I live. And they have a summer camp for youth 6 to 16 years old who have lost siblings or parents. And it's a week-long bereavement camp. So kids can come and be with kids who've also gone through the same kind of thing. And I'm sure there's counseling and activities and all kinds of things. And then, so the Fox chapter made 50-plus of these heart ornaments. So every kid this summer gets to go home with a needlepoint ornament as a memory memento of their bereavement camp week. And I'm sure that they come out of that in much better shape than they go in. So I just was really proud of the chapter and all the women who got together and did that. And I'll put a link up, but it's angfox.org is the website for our chapter, angfox.org. And you can see it. It's the, it'll be the first one right on the home screen for a while. And I did a slideshow, and then there's a little video with Michelle who organized the thing. There's three ladies. Michelle's the one I always worked with, so I remember her. But I just thought it was just a really cool thing for a chapter to do. And you know, I mentioned it not only because I'm really proud of to be part of a chapter that does that kind of thing, but also it's a chance, an idea for others. You know, a chapter-wide project. And what right. came out of it for the members was that a bunch of them, well, they all had to finish their own, or there were some ladies who would help if you got stuck. But people ended up learning how to finish a heart and put cording around it and a bow. So there was something that came out of it beyond just doing a needlepoint piece, especially for people who had never finished anything. And they're beautiful. I mean, it's the table full of them there, and it's beautiful. So I'm really proud of the group.
Yeah, that's nice. What a wonderful way to give back to people in need. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just thought that was really neat. And I'm sure there are other chapters and EGA groups that do that kind of stuff. But this is the first time I remember a Fox chapter doing it. And so I thought it was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay.
So we had a discussion after one of our last shows. I don't remember what. Because yeah. I was complaining about, because I'm a bow and needle fan. But I was complaining about the 28s that I'm using for Sarah B. And that I wasn't happy with the eyes, and they just aren't holding up. They're losing their finish, and the eyes are rough, and I just wasn't happy. And then you were telling me you are a Peacemaker needle fan.
Yeah.
And so, because what you kept mentioning how much you like the eye.
Yeah. the reason the eye is bigger than the Bowen ones. And I have always, I can pick out a Peacemaker needle. If you had a group of needles laying on the table, I could pick out the Peacemaker one every time. The eye is more oval. You know how like a Bowen needle is kind of like a long slit,
right,
almost.
Right, yeah.
And it's pointy. It's a kind of blunt on the eye, you know, on the eye at the top. And Peacemakers are more curved, and the eye's more open on the 28, and it's pointy. And how I stitch, that is valuable to me. Right, you know what I mean? Because I stitch with eye up, point down, eye up through I never turn my needle. So, it's more valuable to me because of that reason. And I have Peacemakers. I don't think I've ever had a Peacemaker that's lost its shine. I really don't. I don't think I've ever had one go go dull, you know, like, or, you know, lose its shine, go rough on the thigh, on the shaft. And
you mean have the finish wear off?
Yeah, the finish wear off. Yeah. I was trying to think about what was the word for that. Yeah. I have never had one have the finish wear off. And, I really like them. I think it's a strong needle and they're just really good. Personally, that's what I think. That's my personal preference.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give them a try. Julie Rickard Evans, the Gulf Coast Stitcher, wrote, and she had some there at the shop that she said she wasn't a fan of them, so she's going to send me some, and so I get to try them because I wanted to buy them in bulk. I use a lot of needles. I like to have a lot of needles out when I'm working on a project because I like to not have to rethread all the time.
Yeah, I'm the same.
And so I wanted to buy in bulk, but you can't buy these peacemakers in bulk. Somebody looked it up, and somebody actually wrote to them on my behalf, which I appreciated, and posted back that they are you can't get them in bulk. You got to get them in little packages.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather have 50 or 100 and pay a lot less so I don't pay for all that packaging and then just have them. So anyway, I'll get to try that. We'll see.
Yep. I was going to ask you, have you ever tried Mary Arden needles?
No.
I haven't either. I was just wondering.
No, I'm just one of those people. I started with Bowen and I just stick with them. But then, you know, Mary Corbett, you know, here's trouble again. When she did the tulip needles, then I bought a bunch of tulip needles and I use those for needlepoint. And I really like those.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was at Sassy Jack's in May, I brought home a package. Kim pointed to me. She thought that the 26 tulip needles were not that far off from 28 Bowens, and they're not. So I have a package of those, but I'm going to use those 26s on the Queen sampler. And because I like the tulip needle, that's a good needle. And I don't know why the finish is going off the Bowens, because I don't normally have needles wear out. I don't have real acidic fingers, you know, like some people will go through needles like water.
And right.
I don't have that happen at all, but for some reason, these are just not holding up, and it's getting really annoying. So I've got a bunch of them. It's so frustrating, but I just want to wrap them up in duct tape and throw them away because I'm tired of them. so when these peacemakers get here, we'll see how they work. And I appreciate Julie sending those. She said, hey, if you want to try them, I'll send them to you, and I appreciate it. So
I love them. I've tried all kinds of needles. I've tried the pack. Favorite needle, and I mean that's a fine needle. I don't have, and it's kind of more pointy on the end too, but one thing with Pat's favorite needle I have found with me is that I can wear the finish off pretty quick.
Oh, okay.
And it has a gold eye, and I've noticed that it has a tendency. Maybe I just stitch with them so long. Maybe I stitch with them longer than, but I thought that had a tendency to come to wear off too, or get dull in on the eye. And so I tried those. They're fine. I have some of those still that I use, but they're not my favorite. I mean, I use Bowens too, but they're not my favorite. And I've tried those stitchy dots. So those are stitchy pops.
Oh yeah. How are those? They seem weird to me.
I know that they, for a person that stitches like I do, they're pretty nice, honestly.
Yeah.
I like them. But again, I don't like them over peacemakers.
Hmm.
Nothing beats, in my mind, of the things that I've tried, peacemakers, period. And I told you, that's what we talked about, because I said I just bought a bulk, because I'm like you, I like to have a lot of needles. And so the only needle that I could find in bulk was quickly when I was looking one day was John James. And I don't prefer John James.
Too late. You already said you hate him. Too late.
They're not my favorite.
And, too late. You said you hate him. It's okay.
I bought $25 worth of them. I thought, I'm going to have them. I'm going to, you know, they'll be okay. I'll just like, and I just. They're okay. They're just not my favorite, I guess. I can just tell when I stitch with a peacemaker, I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, needles are like that. I mean, everybody has their favorite. Everybody, it's like me, Bowen. But I'll tell you what triggered it for me.
Okay.
It really got me sensitive to it because I didn't realize I was getting frustrated with those 28s until I did that show with Margaret Lee.
Oh.
And she said she still has her original needles that were made by some sword maker, Chinese or Japanese sword maker.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe all the stitching she's done, all that fine art, Chinese and Japanese embroidery, and she's still using the same needles from eons ago. Wait a minute. How come these Bowens are wearing out on me? What? Wait a minute. I need a sword maker to make me a needle.
Well, and when I listened to that and she said I still have my original needle from when I started, I was like, and you haven't lost them? I'm always losing needles.
Oh, great. Really?
Oh, yes. I'll find them all over the place.
Jeez. So her entire family wears leather-soled, steel-toed shoes to walk around the house.
Well, see, we don't have carpet. So, you know, it just lays flat on the...
Oh, okay.
On the floorboard so you can see them. And I always find them. I don't know how I lose them. I don't know if a cat gets up and like bites them off my needle minder and drops them on the floor. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a slob. Probably that. Probably I'm just a slob.
Now see, I was going to go with the cat theory. I was going to go with that on your behalf.
Maybe, I don't know. I have seen.
If you want to go slob, you know, you can go slob if you want, but I was going to go cat so that it was completely off your back, but you know, go ahead, be a slob. I don't care.
I don't know. That's what I might be a slob. I don't know, but I find them all the time. And that's what stressed me when she goes, I still have my original needles. I thought mine's long gone. My original needles.
I couldn't believe that. I mean, those have got to be some fine needles. I'll tell you. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you just think over the years, just the metal would just wear down to nothing after a while.
Right.
But boy, they must really be tempered and finished. Wow, that's impressive. Yep.
Yeah, that is impressive.
That old world culture stuff, man, I just think that is so cool. When you can say, you know, I got mine from a sword maker and I still have them how many years later? Wow, that's just, you know, that's a whole different level. Yeah.
And it was a samurai sword maker, right?
Right.
Isn't that
right.
what she said?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's just so cool.
But so are these tulip needles? Because I never heard about tulip needles until maybe it was you that said somebody said something somewhere about tulip needles. And I was like, what is tulip needles? It was in a Fiber Talk. Who were you talking about with them?
Well, probably Mary Corbett.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's all her fault.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew I'd heard, that was the first time I'd heard about them.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned it to me again, and it was like, what? Tulip needles? So are they really great?
Are they the greatest thing ever made? No. I really like them. I think they slide through, like, especially for needlepoint. I really like them for needlepoint. I think they slide through the canvas well. They're well-shaped. Uh-huh. They have a nice grip to them. They're expensive. Like just this side of, can I really justify the cost? But like for needlepoint, I really like them. And, I find myself using them more and more, and the Bowens getting set aside. I don't know. They just feel nice. And, but could I go up to somebody and say, boy, you gotta, it's worth every penny. No, I wouldn't say they're that good. No.
So now they're made in Japan too, right?
I believe that's where, yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay. And then, what is the cost of them? Like generally, like for how many, how much for how many, like for peacemakers, you get six and they're like anywhere from, it depends, $2.25 to like $3.
See, these I think are six and I want to say twice or more for that.
Twice or more.
Like eight. I haven't bought any in a while, so I'm not really sure. I shouldn't even say. But they are more expensive. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's your hobby.
Yeah. So who cares what it costs? Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, you try that. Go ahead. When we get done, you just go sit in front of the family and say, hey, you know, it's my hobby. Who cares what it costs? Yeah. Yeah, you fire that up. See how that goes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I just really like them. And now I'm going to start using the 26s I got from Sassy Jacks. on the Queen sampler and see how I like them. So I don't know. They're really well made. I mean, there's no question they're extremely well made. But now I'm really you've gushed over Peacemakers so much that now I'm curious to try them.
I'll be anxious for you to try them too. I like them. They're my favorite. But you know, another thing that I was, you know, you hear people say different ones on FlossTube and then in sampler groups or Facebook pages and stuff that, oh, but only use petite needles. So I bought some petites. When I bought my bulk John James ones, I bought some bulk John James petites because, you know, there's people that swear by them. So I thought I'm going to try those too. I am like man hands. I cannot manipulate a petite needle. You talk about wanting to wrap them up and throw them across the room. That's how I felt about petite needles, and I have like 25 of them.
Now, what are they, shorter?
Yeah, they're short.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to deal with that. No.
Yeah, I've got man hands. I just can't. Yeah, Seinfeld man hands episode.
Okay. I never watched that show. Never watched that show.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't think it was funny. I could, you know, people just, you know, no, I just never, I watched it. It just seemed so disjointed and I just could never get into it. No.
Oh, that disappoints me.
Sorry.
Seinfeld, do you want to know how many times? That is my husband's favorite show. Do you want to know how many times we have watched Seinfeld from start to finish?
Pretty frightening, huh?
Four times.
Four times all those episodes? Because that was out a long time.
Every one, start to finish. And he laughs when we rewatch, even though we've seen it 1,000 freaking times. He will laugh every time at every, you know, he'll laugh every time. Like it was the first time he saw it.
Wow.
Yeah, no, he loves it.
I never got that. I just never could get into that. And it's just, nah, forget it.
Yeah, no, he loves it.
Yeah. And that show, you know, if you watch, I have really enjoyed Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. That on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, that's
it is. The first season or two were really good, and then it fell off. Now a new one's coming out. We'll see. But it became clear that show set all those actors up pretty much for life. That was a big hit for them.
Yeah.
Like freedom to go do whatever you want afterwards and I know how successful it was. I just could never get into it. And I've even tried it in reruns and it's like, oh geez, nah, I don't care. It's like that one and Friends. Marga just loves Friends, watches it all the time. She'll watch it 1,000 times and I can't stand it.
Friends I liked when it was on Thursday night. Think about Thursday nights, NBC. You'd have Friends, Seinfeld, ER. Man, that was like the, woo, knock it out of the ballpark. And I was, you know, we were young. Keith and I were young and we were dating and, you know, working and stuff. And every Thursday night, he would come down to Evansville because at that time I lived in Evansville, Indiana, and was working down at the hospital down
there. This is going to be another heartwarming moment, isn't it? I can feel it coming. Yeah.
Oh, but anyways, he would come down every other weekend. And cause I worked every other weekend. And so he would come down on the weekends that I didn't work. And,
yeah, I got that part. Yeah. I was able to piece that together.
You
yeah.
were. Okay, yeah. Great. And then,
but thanks for, you know, spelling it out for us. Thanks though.
And he,
cause if we, the weekends you're working for him to come would be kind of pointless. So
yeah, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. So he would come on Thursday nights because he had every other Friday off. So he would come down on Thursday nights. And he would show up at my apartment and I would always go, now, you can't talk because we have to watch Friends, Seinfeld, and ER. No talking. And we would just sit there and watch it.
Oh, that's so special.
Oh, yeah, that was special.
Wow.
It was.
And now all these years later, you're still watching them. Wow.
I'm still watching it with him.
Man.
Yeah, that, and he's really a big fan of.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling a tear here. Just give me a second here. I think, yeah, yeah, that's what it was. It was a tear. Yeah. Wow.
Oh,
this is kind of a Rockwell show. You know, if I titled shows, it would be the Rockwell show. Yeah.
Well, he also likes Last Man Standing. And so like he goes through and, oh gosh, that Father Brown, he loves Father Brown. That's a BBC show.
Oh yeah. I've watched a couple of those. Those are pretty good.
Okay. We've watched that season twice. I mean, the whole thing start to finish twice. We've watched that. He's just, you know, a sentimental guy. And, you know, that's why I married him too, was because he was a Little House on the Prairie fan.
That did it for you?
That was the sign, sealed, and deliver moment is when we were watching Little House on the Prairie, and I can't remember which one it was because I had the DVDs or the CD. What'd you have back in those days? I had like maybe the VHS. I don't know. I had something of Little House on the Prairie, and I can remember like watching one of the episodes, and it was like a real tearjerker, and Michael Landon was crying, and I was embarrassed that I was crying, and I looked over at him and he was crying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a barrier down right there. Yeah.
I tell you what, I thought, I'm marrying you.
Yeah, gotta latch onto this one. he actually has feelings. Gotta latch onto him.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was a real moment right there.
Wow. That's neat.
Yeah.
Okay, you win.
He's a sentimental guy.
Since we're on shows, I have to say I just finished watching HBO series Gentleman Jack. And it's about Ann Lister, who, what do they call her, the first modern lesbian. Oh. I think that's how it was termed. Anyway, she's this lesbian back in, you know, horse and buggy age, who's part of a family, lives on an estate. She kept an extensive diaries, so they know basically her whole life. And anything about personal relationships, she had in a code, and it took them a while to figure out the code for what it was. But it's a tremendous story. It's just one episode, or one season. I hope they do another one. With her trying to manage, and her estate on the property is a lot of coal, and there's a couple of guys who are mining coal next to her and basically stealing out of her coal's reserves. And dealing with that as a business person and her family and then her love life. And they're aristocrat type people, you know, upper tier British people. And it's terrific. I think it's just a terrific series. I have to say, last night when you and I were going back and forth about the reversible cross stitch, I was going to stitch it. But I had half of the last episode, and so I just had to sit down and watch it. But I think it's really a fantastic story. I really enjoyed it.
And what's the name of it?
Gentleman Jack. Yeah. It's just really well done. I really enjoyed it. It's a good story, good characters, well filmed, the whole bit. And then all the people around her that rent homes on their property and all those kinds of things. And it's just really well done. Yeah.
I'm going to look that up. Do you watch Poldark?
No, I haven't. Though Nicola has urged me many times, I have not.
That is a fabulous.
Is it?
Series. Yeah. And actually Little Women, PBS did a Little Women last summer, I think. And that is a fabulous one too. If you can, I think they have it on if you just download the PBS app, I think that you can watch it on there still.
Like Little Women, like the book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I remember the book. I read the book. Was Louisa May Alcott, is that right?
Yep. And yep.
Look at me. Look at me with the trivia. Wow.
I tell you what, awesome. That was a really good show too.
You said that like awesome, like, yeah, whatever. Okay, thanks.
I did not.
Yeah, whoopee for you. You can remember Louisa May Alcott wrote Little Women. Yeah, okay, I got it. Okay.
I was going to say that other English who wrote Jane Austen. That's who I would have said.
See, oh, no.
You are better than me. But I already knew that. I already knew that you were.
Is that what it is? Here? Wait a minute. I got to write that down. Vanna said.
You are better than me.
But Poldark's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Because I know Nicola moves small mountains to watch it, so.
Oh, I love it. It's I really do love it. And I, you know, I loved oh gosh, Downton Abbey. I like that one too.
Oh, I got sucked into that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't going to watch that, and Margaret started watching it, and I got to say, just I got sucked right in.
Yeah, it makes you just want to. Yeah, I mean, all of the I like British. I think British television is better than American television, if you want my honest opinion. And I like the IT guys. Have you watched that? That's a BBC show.
The IT guys.
Yeah, gosh, that they are hilarious. It is hilarious.
Well, I don't know that one. IT like.
IT like. Like
computer stuff.
IT guys. And are the, it's either IT guys or IT crowd. I don't know. It's something. We watched that, and it's, and I think the reason why it appealed to me is that I live that, because my husband's an electrical engineer. And so it's just kind of about like the idiosyncrasies of that type of people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so the type of people.
I just kind of, I mean,
setting aside the fact you married one, that type of people.
Yeah. I mean, that type of people is, I mean, that's right. That's how I, there's, and anybody that's married one understands what I'm saying, but, yeah, it's kind of just funny, you know, awkward. It's awkward sometimes.
Okay.
Socially awkward.
Okay.
He is.
Well, I got to check that out. IT guys, okay.
Yeah.
IT All right, guys, I'll give Poldark a try. What is that about some guy?
Mm-hmm. It's based on a set of books.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give that a try.
And it's filmed like near where Nicola lives.
I know, and I think so, that's why Nicola can't wait to see the next one, because it's like down the road. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. And that guy that plays Poldark, what a tall drink of water he is.
Well, that gets me all pumped up right there.
Oh, yeah, he's there. And I don't usually say that about too many. You know, I don't really to say that about too many people. Men are, you know, I have my dream boat that I live with. But I must say he is very attractive. Very, very something about him.
Okay. All right. I'll have to check it out then, because I'm looking for my next series to watch. So. Because I put those on, you know, and people are going right now, wait, I thought this was a needlework show. Sorry.
But, well, you want to do samplers. You want to stitch samplers when you watch these shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have tea and sip tea and stitch a sampler. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, tea. That's what I have. Yeah, tea. Mm-hmm.
Tea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go Linda Green, have a beer. Yeah. Tea. No, not happening. No. No. I bought wireless earbuds.
Oh, we were just talking about this, and my kids yesterday.
Yeah, but these don't have anything that connects them.
Yeah.
So it's just two wireless, and they're noise canceling.
Yeah.
And so I put those in my ears, which is a good place to put earbuds, now that you think about it. And then they connect to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And because I tend to like it loud, and I tend to like violent shows, so I'll have it turned up, and Margaret will text me from upstairs, turn that down, because she can't hear Friends, you know. And so now I use those, and that really helps with the British accent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Cause
helps you like what? In what way? Like understand
well,
what
better
you're
understand
saying?
It because sometimes like if one character has a really heavy accent, it'll be it'll be hard to pick it out.
Yeah.
And so it helps a lot. Plus you pick up a lot more of the sounds, and then you'll get more of a surround sound effect.
Uh-huh.
And, they're fantastic. Oh, I just love them. And then it's completely noise canceling. So I have to tell Marga I'm putting them in. So she can't yell, because I can't hear her. Like if, you know, dinner's ready, I can't hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, maybe I wonder if that works in reverse. If you can understand British people better, I wonder if Nicola can understand us better.
Probably. Yankee. Yeah. She can understand Yankee better. Yeah. Yeah.
Or Indiana redneck. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. But, so I love them. I love them. But we have friends who have their earphones, wireless earphone things that are go in a charger thing, and they use those to listen.
Uh-huh.
And just because really? He has hearing aids, so for him, he just takes them out and puts those in, and that really helps. But these things are just great, and they really help with, because you know how some shows will be really loud, and then there'll be a real quiet section.
Yeah.
And you go, what? And so, yeah, you don't miss any of that anymore. Yeah. Big fan.
Mm-hmm. That's something. That's something. And I think it's something that you, so Margus, well, I guess you're all together all the time because you work together and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of special like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can see why you don't sit together to watch television, but my husband will not watch television without me.
Oh. See, Margaret, what I like to watch and what Margaret likes to watch, there's very few shows.
I just put up with what it, we're kind of, you know, both. We like documentaries a lot. You know, and Amazon has really great documentaries.
Yes.
On, and we watch a lot of those. Like, we watched recently a story about Neanderthals, and it was like a 4-part documentary. It was really awesome. I mean, it was really honest to heaven awesome. And that was on Amazon. You can find really good stuff on Amazon, and you just have to dig.
Right. Yeah, there's one, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. There's a documentary about them.
Yeah, we watched that too.
Yeah, I love that because you get all the history of the California music scene as it was developing. I think it's pretty good. Yep.
Right.
Okay. We just lost all listeners. All of them.
No, we haven't, because that's good stuff. You got to know what you're going to watch when you do television. Know what you're going to watch when you stitch.
Linda Green and Beth in Illinois are still with us, I guarantee you. But other than that.
Everybody else is gone.
Yeah, they checked out on us. So, okay. So, okay, so we got to end the Rockwell show. That's it.
Okay, that's
Rockwell,
it. Right now.
Rockwell moment show, 4 of them we had by my count. 4 Rockwell moments in the Pfeiffer household. Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be some award. Somebody's going to show up and put a plaque on your house. I just know they are.
Yeah, here she lives.
Norman Rockwell. Yeah, this certified Norman Rockwell family. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, like yesterday when you called me, I think, and we were on our walk, right? Yeah.
Right,
yes,
yeah.
It was yesterday. And after I hung up with you, Ellie goes, you know what would really be awesome? And she goes, and it would be a hit. And I've told you this before. If somebody would come, like, we could do our own reality TV. Like, somebody would just follow us around. Because I said that to you, I think. Somebody needs to just follow me around.
Yeah.
Kelly goes, it would be a hit. I know it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, your life ain't normal. Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
I'm going all the time. So if anybody's out there ready to do a reality TV show in Bloomington, Indiana, hit me up.
Yeah, you're in some parallel universe that just ain't normal. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. All right, that's it. Sunday. Oh, that's right. You joined me for this one. It was fun. Nicola Parkman returns for the third time. Hands across the sea sampler. Yeah, we had a good chat. That was fun.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, we talked about what, basically what Nicola, we tried to talk about what Nicola has learned as she's worked her way through her career of reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually learned some things, and then it got off, it made a left turn toward the end, and then it was, but.
Yeah, I stimulated the economy during the talk.
Yeah, I think you did, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it went down a different path at the end, all three of us, so it was fun, but. The serious show ended at some point, and then it went, haywire. And the sound will work for that, so you'll get to hear it. Yeah. So that's coming up Sunday, and I'm sure a Queen Sampler something will be coming up. Queen Sampler Project, sponsored by Sassy Jack Stitchery, that project. Watch us on the Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure we'll be doing something here soon.
Okay.
I got to actually get going, though.
Yeah, I'm ahead of you.
I know. Yeah, you got like 10 X's in. I got one. So you're flying, Vonna. You're flying.
Oh, I've got reversible cross-stitch figured out, though.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So that's coming up for me. I got to get going. That's tonight, I think. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.